because he has the answer to it now, he said from the scriptures, if he falls asleep. Though I don't know if we can resurrect him or not if he really goes out, but we'd give it a try, Jerome. Yeah. All right, it's Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and we're moving from that over into Hebrews, where we started last week, and doing a little bitty series together with regard to of how we see Jesus. How do we see him? How do we think on him? How do we observe him in the scriptures and then observe him in our lives because we've observed him in the scriptures and see forth with regard to him. And Psalm 95 is a great place for us this morning hour as you open your Bible there and we think down through it here. And we're reminded here that true worship can only come from true worshipers. And from true worshipers, it requires a prepared heart. You come prepared to worship. Minds are upon praise and honor of the Lord. You know, he says, oh, come, verse 1, let us, you know, let's together sing to the Lord. Shout joyfully. Do you sing joyfully? Jubilation, just joyfulness. Sometimes there's great joy within and we can't quite get it to bubble out. It's to be conspicuous in our worship that it's a joyful time to worship God, to know we belong to him and have that great delight of praising him and singing joyfully. It says there, make a joyful noise, and some churches and people have taken that way beyond its meaning. And so lots of worship so-called services are a lot of noise. The pendulum has swung way over, and it's a way out of line with regard to what is brought up here. But we are to be happy, joyful, not just a made-up one, but a real one. And I know sometimes we're full of joy and happiness, though we don't always express it outwardly and show it in that way in which God has designed that we can do. But worship, exuberance, thanksgiving, confessing of what has taken place in our lives by the hand of God. Or maybe what we desire to take place. It hasn't, we want it to, and we just look to the Lord with regard to bringing that about. Now when we read down through the verses, and you come down to verse 7, Psalm 95 in verse 7, and after bringing forth what many learned as a great chorus there in verse 6, maybe some of you have used the chorus, remember it, you know that chorus, oh come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Some think that refers to the nation of Israel, made the nation, and others with regard to he is our Creator. For he is our God, verse 7. We are. We got the he and the we, right? Make sure you keep it in the right order. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, of his tender care. And then the writer brings in that little word, today. Today, right now. Now is a critical time, because today, for the time for us on this earth, this is all there is, today. Not tomorrow, today. Today presents a passing opportunity. Bring forth the praise and that of examining our hearts by way of the Word of God. Today. There at the end of verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice. Trouble is not that God has not spoken, but it is that people do not listen. So often we read in the scriptures, you that have ears to hear, hear what the Lord has to say, particularly when you get down to the book of Revelation. People will not listen. God in his great graciousness brought forth in the Old Testament during the time of giving of his law, when the people said, oh, that we had someone to hear and listen to and follow. And so God graciously gave his law. In Deuteronomy 5:29, you have this record. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, God is speaking. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But had not such a heart, obvious throughout the scriptures. The trouble is not that he has not spoken, that he is not speaking with regard to his word, but that people will not and are not listening. I have not ears to hear what God has to say. They didn't listen. So we always have to ask the question, are we? When I was in elementary school, and one school teacher loved red pencils sharpened up sharp. And she would say, are you listening? As she was taking her red lead pencil on the top of my head. Are you listening? I'm sure I still got some red lead in there someplace with regard to all that she had, because she probably knew I wasn't a very good listener. That's why she did it. Or listening, but not doing anything with what was heard, meaning you probably really didn't hear what I said if you're not doing anything with regard to it. The result of not listening is brought out in Psalm 95 for us in verse 10. There's the result of not listening. You go your own way. Israel's desert wanderings were then and are today a symbol and a consequence of the heart wandering, going its own way. So he says, the heart, I think with tears, back there in verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. Oh, that today we would not have our hearts hard against the things of God. Many years ago, a young man who is not so young anymore, but starting out as a state trooper in the state of Maine, and a friend went to talk to him in the church. It was fine. He wanted to be the state trooper and do what he is still doing. But a friend went and talked to him and said, now, what I have seen over the years, this man had been a military police for many years. He says, one thing I've seen happen over the years is many police officers, state troopers, they see so many terrible, difficult, heart-rending things that they become hard against the ones they're trying, they're supposed to be helping. The heart can become hard. He says, oh, that today, do not harden your hearts. Despite the abundant evidence of God's mercy and grace, hearts become hard. Today, think of it down through the psalm today. You know, you go back to verse 1. Today, you know, come, let's worship, sing to the Lord. Today, let us shout joyfully. You know, verse 2. Today, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You know, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing. Today, let us make a joyful noise. Shout joyfully. Today, verse 3. The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. And today, in his hand, the deep places of the earth, the heights and the hills. Today, the sea is in his hand. He made them, formed them. Verse 6, today, oh come, let us worship, bow down. Today, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God. Today, we are the people of his pasture, sheep of his hand. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. It's a heart issue. Not hearing, not listening, not responding with regard to his word. All of that takes you and your Bible, us together, over to the book of Hebrews. If you would please, the book of Hebrews, where we started last week, thinking about seeing Jesus as he is presented in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 1. I've been thinking this week, if I were ever allowed and able, believed God would have me to pastor again, I think the first book I would preach through would be the book of Hebrews. The reason is this. Some time ago, our youngest son, name is Andrew, has a great heart for the pastorate and the flock. Pastoring up in the middle of nowhere, northern Michigan. He's an ooper. He said to me, "Now, what are some of the challenges in the ministry?" And I said, in all, there are many of them we could list, but I think I would give you one that I think is the most challenging and difficult, and it's this. It's ministering to a church and people in the church where in the church, and this has no association with you, so don't think, oh, that's us. No, it's not. I said that the greatest challenge is folks who are believing they are saved when they are not and being a part of the work. I think the biggest challenge in the local church, in all its aspects, you know, the difficulties, the challenges, the things that work and don't work together. So that was maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago I said that to him. This week he sent a little note and he says, I'm learning what you meant. I now know. The greatest challenge and difficulty, and it was that's the reason for this message in the book of Hebrews, is that of the warning to people. Don't harden your heart against God and the ways of God and what he's put before us. Remember, we just sung it in that glorious hymn, two hymns ago, Hebrews chapter 1, God. Verse 1, God who at sundry times, various ways with various times, he spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets. So you read the Old Testament, there you have it. He has in these last days we're living in, spoken to us by his son, or literally spoken by son. His son is the message. And his son is one he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, Father's glory, express image of his, of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, or any other character, person's name you could put in there, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then he goes into a series of questions here. I want you to keep that in mind. I know you can. I know you will. And go over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, therefore. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give, thinking of Christ, all there is with regard to him, we must give the more earnest heed, all of our attention. We don't, but we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, referring to Christ, and we just read in those first verses, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels, and the scripture tells us many times of God using angels with regard to giving of his word, his law, proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Keep that in mind. Every transgression and disobedience upon the nation of Israel received a just reward. If that all took place, and it did, then he looks out at us and he says, how shall we, or he speaks with regard to himself and those he's gathered with, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which in the first began to be spoken by the Lord, as the gospel came by way of Christ, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. That word neglect, I'm going to kind of go back up the ladder. That is, we're at verse 3, and we'll go to 2 and 1. And in verse 3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect? It's interesting always to study the scriptures and think through things and look at the different words and meanings and the gloriousness of how it's all put together and what a package it is with regard to the scriptures. And if you recall in your mind or take a quick look back to Matthew 22 and verse 5, Matthew 22 and verse 5, in that little section of scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ was giving an illustration. Then he talked with regard to somebody who had invited lots of guests to the wedding. Lots of people invited to the wedding, but it says there in Matthew 22:5, says they made light of it. There's the invitation to the wedding, big event. Those who received the invitation, they made light of it and went out and did their own things their own way, and they neglected it. They made light of it. It's what we have right here, folks, in front of us in this verse that we're just looking at in verse Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we? It's talking about believers. If we neglect so great a salvation. I know it can be applied to unbelievers, but the message is to believers. If you go up the ladder to verse 2, Hebrews 2, 2. And he says with regard to about halfway through it, he says, let's see, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. The idea there of disobedience is that of imperfect hearing. Imperfect hearing. My mother had a physical hearing problem. Most of the days I was growing up as a child, and so she got literally yelled at because she couldn't hear. And then probably along about the time I was 8 or 9, some surgery took place upon her ears. And she was sent home, and she woke up in the middle of the night afraid because it was raining. And she heard it for the first time. Hearing. She could hear. Physically. We have here, and disobedience means an imperfect hearing. Kind of heard what they wanted to hear. Have you heard that expression? An imperfect hearing. Then if you go back up to verse 1, where he says we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away, or they drift away from us. So what do we got here? We tried to deal with that a little bit last week. Verse 1, you got this listless, just almost hearing. You got this neglectful hearing. And then you've got the imperfect hearing. When there is such a great matter at hand as the things of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, there needs to be a hearing of what is there. So the pastor writes, he writes these things to you and I to teach us, gives a teaching, then here's the exhortation. Teaching and the exhortation. So I ask ourselves, you and I, all of us, this question. Are we listening? Are we paying careful attention to what and who Jesus Christ, the author of our salvation, who he is? You know as well as I, there's a difference between hearing, listening. I hear you does not mean I'm really listening. And to listen means to indeed pay thoughtful attention. So it indeed enters the ear, and then the reaction to it is an action that shows I heard, I'm following through with regard to what I heard. We can hear something clearly, but fail to act upon it. We've all heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. We've read about him here. This morning, we've sung to him and about him. We're here to declare the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we show that we have heard the message by our gathering. And we are to show that we have heard the message as we go forth and give forth. We show that we have heard by our outward actions, where we respond to a living message, the presenting of the Lord Jesus. Or we do not respond, and it shows we have not heard. Look at chapter 2, please, if you will, again, here in Hebrews and down at verse 9. Where he says, but we see Jesus. My question is, do we really see him, who he is? But we see Jesus. It was made a little lower than the angels. That's for a little while. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for every man, and we'll deal with that in a week or two. For it was fitting for him, For whom are all things, and by whom are all things? To bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Not ashamed. Pastor, in his Sunday school lesson this morning hour, was reminding us of the need that the how it ought to be of speaking about Christ in our daily ongoings, as it is easy to talk about other stuff, but we have to admit we don't do it. In our hearts and minds, many times we might see and find ourselves talking and wanting and desire to talk to someone about Christ, and the opportunity comes and, well, we know what the answer is. The message of who Jesus is and how glorious we feel and think of him here may not immediately slip away from us, drift by. We may not immediately disobey it or neglect it. But by misuse or lack of use or disuse or kind of an oh-hum attitude, we do not, and I do not, put my we is me, we do not speak of Christ as we know we can, ought to, and should. So my question comes back, and the question here of the scriptures is, do we really know who Christ is? Do we really believe? Or in our hearts is there disbelief with regard to him? You ever fall asleep during a football game? Well, I do all the time. Or a baseball team, some favorite show, or I think it's a blessing from the Lord. I guess some would question that, but I have this ability that I can sit down and fall asleep. I don't do all driving, or usually not in church, but I can sit down and I can fall asleep in a and I can wake up in 20 minutes and take right off. I think sometimes in the things of Christ, we just sort of fall asleep, drift off, neglect what is there. We look like we're paying attention, but we've lost interest. My wife and I have a friend, a medical doctor, 90s. He's not doctoring now. He probably could if he could stand up. But he always had this policy: if you needed to see him, you get your appointment, you go, and as long as you stayed and waited, he would eventually get to you. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And it happened to me several times, my wife as well. And the doctor could be there, and he's talking to you, and he'd go right to sleep, standing up, like a horse. And a few minutes, he'd wake up and continue the very next word that would go in the conversation of what he was talking about medical-wise for you. He can fall asleep, but pay attention. I don't quite do that. I think many times we've fallen asleep, and we don't even know we're asleep. with regard to the giving forth of the gospel of who Christ is. We might protest, well, not me. I'd never ignore the word. I'd never neglect it. When it comes to the things of Christ, God's warning is not without evidence of multitudes and multitudes who said they were following him. But we read how easily, when situations came along, they were not listening to him. It takes us to chapter 3, and the reason we're just looking at that Psalm 95 a little bit today. Interesting to me in the adult Sunday school lesson this morning. Good lesson. Encourage you to come be part of the Sunday school. Strengthen your heart, your soul, your mind, and step up your pace for Christ. But in it, when you get into chapter 13, one of the first messages that Paul started to bring forth was with regard to Israel and that of people who did not listen to what God said. So we have in chapter 3, and you listen, therefore, holy brethren, what's that tell you? It tells you he's talking to those who he believes are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Who's that? Christ Jesus. Who was faithful to him, to God, his Father, who appointed him. And then illustration-wise, just as or as Moses also was faithful in, notice the phrase, in all of his house. For this one, Christ, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. That would have been kind of a shock to many Jewish folks then. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, notice the next little one, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that sharp and living Word, by way of the Spirit of God, here's Psalm 95 today. That's an urgency. Today! Urgent! If you, Scriptures always makes it so personal in regard to us. That's not necessarily a great big you, everybody, but to you, it's a pointedness. If you will hear his voice. Will you? Do not hearken or harden or make like hard clay. Harden your hearts as in the rebellion, a day of trial and trials in the wilderness. It's illustrations we know through the wilderness travelings. Where your fathers tested me, tested God, tried me, saw my works. They said, here was God's answer, 40 years. Are you watching? Do we have ears to hear? Therefore, verse 10, therefore I was angry. I mean, God was really, really upset with that generation. And what did he say with regard to them? They always go astray, wandering in their heart, and they have not known my ways. though they had said, oh, we do. We know God. We know God. So he says, I made a promise. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. That is the promised land. They would not. Rest has many meanings in the scriptures, in Hebrews in particular. But here it's that. Beware. Look at verse 12, folks. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, a hidden, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And here's his encouragement to you and I as a church, to the church ministry. But exhort one another daily. Don't say, those people are so hard-hearted you can't talk to them. They're going their own way. You'll forget about them. No, he says, in the church we exhort one another. How often? Every day. While it is called what? The urgency. Today. Lest any of you be hardened. How? Through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, our hearts are deceitful and wicked, and who can know them? And you know, part of the expression in that verse is we don't really know our own hearts either. Our own hearts deceive us. As believers, Today, lest any of you be hardened through a deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if. Now we're really genuinely believers and hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, back he goes to it again. Today, verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard, he's going to go through a whole series of questions, folks, 16, 17, 18, a whole bunch of questions here, kind of those self-answering questions, but for who having heard rebelled? Now they were called God's people. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? I'm not much good at math, but someone figured it up, and they said during the 40 years of wanderings, every single day, for it all to kind of worked out, been about an average of 90 a day, died in the wilderness. We do know a couple of individuals that believed, right? Heard. And we do know, we're talking here with regard to those who believe not the promises of who God was at that time. Verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? I wrote in my Bible right there, those who did not obey. This is the character of sin. The whole character of sin. So he concludes it by saying, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They shut God out. They shut God out. God's living and the bounding word that he had given. Has nothing to do with the fact of saying, oh, see, they could lose their salvation. No, they didn't believe God in the first place. They were followers. We all can have lots of followers, but they're not believers. God spoke to the people in the desert. David composed Psalm 95, which God had him bring forth to speak to Israel in his time. And Hebrews in our time quotes verses from 95 and says, the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. We've just read it in his book. God's word still speaks to us. I personally don't like this portion of Scripture. I don't like to be examined. How about you? I don't like someone to, you know, where of your heart? Are you neglecting the word? Disobedient to the word? Letting it slide by the things about the Lord Jesus Christ? Comes back to what we kind of started with in Psalm 95. Am I hearing? Am I showing forth evidence that I'm hearing by my daily actions of not ignoring and not dismissing the things of God? I've ignored the things of God lots of times, have you? I've wanted to only believe what I wanted to believe with regard to lots of the things of the Scriptures. How is it with you? Many a time I've disobeyed the things of God. How about yourself? Many, many, many multitudes of times I haven't said something when it would have been so easy to have said it regarding Jesus to someone. I've let the things of God slide by. Does that mean I'm not redeemed, I'm not saved? No. It means probably I'm very selfish and worried about what others will think or what they would say. In chapter 3 and verse 6, the people are described as a house. We are the house of God. House of God. It means that in this dispensation of the church that we're living in by God's mercy and grace, as believers in Jesus, Jews and Gentiles constitute the household of God, as brought out in Ephesians chapter 2. And that only genuine believers, Colossians 2:9, genuine believers speak outwardly, though not as much as they should and as often as they should, not always where they should or could, but they speak that they belong to Christ. They have heard the joyful sound. What have you heard, folks? Jesus saves. Today, listen. Have ears of understanding. He says in chapter 3 and verse 6 for us, who we belong to. Glorious thing to belong to Christ. That's why we start with Psalm 95. You know, let us rejoice in the Lord. And praises to him. Make his name known. Being part of the house of God, we have courage to speak up with regard to him. And that courage confirms with regard to the fact of us belonging to him. Chapter 3 and verse 14, courage. Courage relates to boldness. An openness. Openness, a confidence. We have confidence, we talk about it, him, the person of Christ. A frank meekness. Not a haughtiness or a beat you up type information given to someone. We don't have to make the gospel offensive. It already is. Just present what it is. This boldness and openness and frankness to present Christ and not to harden our hearts against the things which have been set forth through the hymn, it's a great freedom. It's a great freedom to speak to everyone about Christ and have the delight of seeing God's word work where it will for his name's sake. If the readers of this Hebrew epistle do not today hold on to this hope, it's because they've allowed it to drift away. They become willingly ignorant of the things of God. I draw your attention to a glorious verse among many, Hebrews 6 and verse 18. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. While you keep the warnings in mind, and not me as well, we're reminded of this hope and the unchanging nature of God and God's purpose. Of the impossibility of him to lie. Hebrews 6, down at verse 18. Says out of verse 17, God confirming by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. The hope which we have, it's an anchor in the soul, sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Today, the hope. Just as God is true to his purposes, his decrees he has set forth, so as Christians who profess that name of Christ, they're not disobedient to the things of Christ. Give a reflection. We reflect our Creator and our Redeemer. Being true to our calling and our salvation, which we have in Jesus. Again, from Hebrews in chapter 10 and the other night, we got to go to the 4th of July fireworks. You know how it is? They do all the fireworks, all the nice stuff. And then you know you're just waiting for the end when it has the big stuff. You know? Well, here's the big stuff. Regard to it. Hebrews 10. And you go down there to verse 22. Verses heard often, and they should be, and thought upon with regard to the words we have looked at today. Let us. You know, he says 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Notice that emphasis, with a true heart. And full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with the pure water. As the word of God is talking of. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us, again, the need to do this, brought up often in the book of Hebrews, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We do that by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Certainly it's the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And there's more regard to it. But it doesn't mean there's more time for me. Today, if you hear his voice, you're looking at the word, you're reading the word, the scriptures are open before you. If you hear his voice, listen. Don't harden your heart against the things of God. Don't let the things slide by of the things of God. Don't be disobedient to the things of God. As you read the word, listen. Today, to God's voice, the scriptures. Don't like so many, and many illustrated here in the scriptures, who hear it, but harden their hearts toward it and turn away from it. Let the Spirit of God work the Word of God into your heart to soften the heart to believe on the truth of the gospel of Christ. Might you do it with loved ones and friends and neighbors. A hardening of heart is an ignoring of the Word of God. Do we ignore the Word of God? Be very careful, or we will. We can. Are we taking full responsibility of not neglecting so great a salvation? It's so grand, glorious, and great. It's the person of Christ, and so we cannot stop thinking on it, writing about it, talking about it. Or has God's salvation been so downgraded in importance that we just ignore it? Has it been made just something that's very tiny in our lives? You know, it's there, it's nice, it's old hat, it's old stuff. We're not seeing Jesus any longer. Right? The action of the people of Psalm 95 and Hebrews 3 serve as a warning to each one of us that we must not take lightly the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And let the scriptures, we read it this morning in the adult Sunday school class, let the scriptures, we have to examine our hearts by the word of God. Let the scriptures examine our hearts. Thoroughly examine them. Do not have an unbelieving heart. Can a person be a part of a church and in a church and around the church and do all kinds of stuff in the church and really have a hard heart? Yes. A heart hidden, really, from others with regard to the things of God. Have an unbelieving heart. Do all the right things and say all the right stuff. Yes, it can happen. That's why the need is in the scriptures to continually be exhorting and encouraging and ministering to one another, because it will bring forth and bring out that which is not of Christ and that which is. And we're reminded in the book of 1 John that folks went out from them because they were not of them in the beginning. God always has his way with his church, which he loves by the love of his Son. He will bring forth that fruit at his timing and his way, and it will remain when it's his fruit. Our Father, We're poor soldiers of Christ, but we thank you for enlisting us in your army. We thank you for making us part of the house of God. We pray our hearts are not hardened toward you in unbelief, that we have not shut you out. We pray, Father, we are not playing sort of a religious, nice-looking, sounding game, as it were. Father, might there be a reality of the Scriptures bearing upon our hearts that we are the children of God. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to see him as our salvation, not as just sort of a good luck person. Thank you for this church. Encourage it and strengthen these sheep. Bring forth that shepherd you have for them. Thank you for the shepherd you've given them over the past many years. Now we know you'll fulfill your promise to care for your people, and we'll thank you for doing that as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.